You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Another policy that PM Chris Hipkins scrapped on Wednesday took out the government's planned biofuel mandate. They plan to make a portion of all fuel used in Aotearoa plant-based through the mandate, but decided to get rid of the policy upon the government's current focus on the cost of living crisis. However, both motor trade groups and environmental groups are celebrating the fact that the policy has been axed, one for the lower cost of fuel, and the other for how it'll actually improve Aotearoa's environment not to use power fuels. I spoke to Jake Cruz from Don't Burn Our Future about how the canning of the policy will actually be better for both the environment and our cost of living. He first went over what the mandate was aiming to achieve.
The government's biofuels mandate was aiming to reduce emissions by blending biofuel in with regular petrol and diesel sold around the country for all land vehicles, basically. And the idea is that biofuel, because it comes from plants, is carbon neutral. But that idea was fundamentally flawed, which is why we opposed it.
Why was this plan not sustainable?
Because there is very low usage of biofuel in New Zealand at the moment. There's a tiny amount made from used cooking oil and there's a tiny amount made from whey. And the reason for that is that you need to use food crops, essentially, to make biofuels. And they're expensive, much more expensive than regular fuel. So that's why mandates are necessary to get any significant proportion of them into our fuel. What that does is it creates all this extra demand for food, and people aren't going to eat any less just because there's a biofuel mandate. So suddenly there's all this extra demand that has to be met from food crops, and that creates pressure on food prices, and it creates pressure to convert more land to food production. And because these crops are globally traded commodities, it could happen anywhere in the world. You're basically linking into a web that spreads across the entire planet. And there's really no way to avoid that consequence of mandates as has been seen overseas.
So Prime Minister Chris Hipkins has recently announced that the mandate will be scrapped. What does this mean for the environment now?
Well, it's good news, basically. There's no way for this bill to avoid the negative consequences of creating more demand for staple food crops and therefore causing tropical deforestation and other unsustainable land use, which would have increased emissions, not decreased it. So the fact that it's not going ahead has avoided increase in deforestation and emissions, which is undoubtedly a good thing for the environment. So basically, we've fought hard to stay in the same place, of course, because we still have to address the climate problem that this bill would have not addressed. So what it means is we're basically back to square one before the government introduced this legislation of needing to find effective measures to cut emissions.
A big part of Chris Hipkins' decision to cut back on this was due to the cost of living and how it could increase the price of fuel. Do you reckon this will make a big impact on people's ability to still drive using fuel where they need, and is that a good thing?
It's complex. So the thing with increasing fuel prices is that it affects the people on the lowest incomes the most. And we know that the people with the highest emissions are people on high incomes. So it's a very poorly targeted measure. So undoubtedly, in terms of cost of living, not putting up the price of fuel does really help those people on low incomes. We need better measures for reducing emissions, which are fairer. But also, fairness is important, but cutting emissions is extremely important. So that, first of all, they have to be effective at cutting emissions. And then the other negative effects outside of climate change, their impact on climate change, need to be minimal and fair. Certainly the burden should be borne by people who can afford it, as opposed by the people the cat.
It's kind of interesting with this policy change about how both yourself, Don't Burn Our Future, kind of more environmental groups and advocates, have been celebrating the canning of this bill alongside groups like the Motor Trade Association, who are glad because of the lack of the fuel hike that would have come from it. If that's the case, if both groups that don't typically really align are unified in being against this bill, what was the original motivation behind it?
That's a really good question. Basically, I believe it was a temptation to basically greenwash New Zealand's carbon footprint by basically pushing emissions overseas, which of course doesn't help the climate problem at all, but might look quite good on New Zealand's books. That's the cynical view. The other take on it is naivety. Bio means life. Biofuel sounds good. And if you make a number of heroic assumptions and ignore what's happened with similar policies overseas, you might think that it could help a little bit. So I don't know where exactly would lie. And then there's also the copying other countries. So the EU and the US have had biofuels obligations for a long time, which is why we know they have these negative effects. But the fact that those policies exist at all might have given some encouragement to the government that perhaps they should do it as well. It's a really odd one in that if you look at the evidence of policies overseas, you know, it's bad from every perspective. But if you don't look very hard at that and you just look at it at a superficial level, it's like, oh, well, there's a quick win. We just put some of this in our fuel tanks and suddenly our emissions go down. That would obviously be attractive to a politician.
Will this make way for more actionable climate policy in the future?
I certainly hope so. I mean, the government will have to find something to fill the gap in the emissions budget that isn't a biofuels, liquid biofuels obligation, so that's certainly encouraging. And also give space to people like me and other environmental activists to fight for positive change rather than fighting to stop negative change. So we've got more bandwidth now to focus on things that actually work. And we know what those things are. We know that if we just simply consume less fuel, then we will have lower emissions. I mean, that is the fundamental. Fossil fuel is the primary source of climate-changing gas, at least around the world. In New Zealand, we've got a large amount from agriculture as well, but certainly fossil fuels are the issue. And we need to find ways to consume less of those. And we know that we can do that through public transport, walking and cycling, electric vehicles, renewable power, wind and solar, like actual renewable power, and geothermal to a certain extent. So all of those things work. The thing is that they're not working fast enough, and they have to keep up with growth. So all the time that we're trying to convert electric vehicles and put in cycle lanes and things like that, people are still buying more and more petrol and diesel cars, and that, you know, more and more, you know, thousands of kilometres of road gets laid down, and somehow these green measures have to not only reduce all of the existing activity, but they have to negate all of that extra stuff which is going on. So either we have to slow that down by diverting what we spend our money on into greener options to begin with, or we have to do just scale up those green technologies much, much faster than we are at the moment. In reality, it's probably both of those things.
That was Jake Ruse from Don't Burn Our Future chatting about the government axing the biofuel mandate.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.